Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for the leaders in Christ Church. I'm Andrew Cook, and it's really good that you could join me. In the Christian Basics series, we now focus on the doctrine of man. If there's ever been a time when the dignity and value of man has been undermined, it has to be in the last 100 years. In so many parts of our world, human life is treated with the utmost contempt, as if it wasn't worth anything. Millions have been killed at the whim of some ruler or dictator, without any regard whatsoever to what was being done. In other situations, people have been worked into the ground and exploited in the workplace, given meagre wages and treated as if they were slaves. Children have been abused and molested as if they were just objects to be thrown away when their usefulness has come to its end. And no doubt you can think of many similar cases. Well, why have these things happened? Why is it that the human race has in effect turned against itself? Why has human life been so devalued? This whole issue is, of course, very complex, and there are many ways of assessing why man's inhumanity to man has grown worse. But there's one fundamental reason, which is the root cause and therefore the most important, and it's this. Men and women have rejected what God has declared in the Bible about our dignity. For many, God is considered as an irrelevance, and once that position has been taken, the floodgates are open for all kinds of wicked and perverse human behaviour. But, and this is most important, rejecting God doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. Neither does it mean we'll not have to give an account to him for all our actions. This reminds us of a very solemn statement found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, where it says, "People are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment." And that puts a totally different complexion on all our attitudes to other members of the human race. To help us have a right understanding of who and what we really are, we're going to examine the Bible's teaching about mankind, because it concerns every one of us. So as we continue our look at another Christian basic, we're going to examine just what God has said about us and seek to learn lessons from it. Dr. John Hall is helping us again here on Serving Today, and when Derek French spoke with him, he asked him to begin by telling us why it's so important for us to know what the Bible has to say about us.
Well, Derek, it's very important for our own health and welfare that we know the truth about ourselves, who we are, what we're living for, and where we're heading, what's going to happen to us after we die. One famous theologian said, "True knowledge of ourselves destroys self-confidence." True knowledge of ourselves destroys self-confidence.
It's quite telling, isn't it?
It is indeed. Let me put it another way, a more popular way. When a person is born, are they basically good in God's eyes or basically bad? Now, in order to find out about ourselves, we need to see ourselves through the eyes of what God has said about us in the Bible, and not through the eyes of another religion or modern psychology or our own opinions.
Well, John, perhaps we could go back to the beginning, really. What was man like when God first created us?
Yes, Derek, that's where we must start, with the Bible and with what it says about us in Genesis 1, 26 to 27. Perhaps you could read that for us.
"Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them."
There are two things to note here. God made us special, distinct from the animals, and God made us in his own image.
John, thinking there of that word image, what exactly does it mean, being made in the image of God?
Well, it can be seen in terms of the structure of our personalities and in our relationships.
In what way?
In terms of our moral makeup, for instance, in that we have a sense of right and wrong in our hearts that God has put there, which is like God. It's much distorted by sin, but it's still there. For instance, it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 24, "And put on the new self," speaking to Christians, "created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And in Colossians 3 and verse 10, "We're like God in our ability to absorb and retain and use knowledge. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Now, also in terms of our relationship with creation, we have rule and creativity, which is like God. Now, would you please read for us, Derek, Genesis 1, 27 and 28?
"So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'"
So we've seen so far a moral sense, knowledge, rule, and in naming the animals, which you find in the next chapter, creativity. We could also see something of God's image in the fact that we're now immortal, that we don't die ultimately and cease to be, but we die and then go to heaven or face God's judgment. Also in our relationships, we are like God in that we are able to love, even fallen man as the remnants of this image left in us. As James says in his epistle, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness." So we see the fact that we're made in God's image means that we have immortality, spirituality, we're able to think, we have a moral sense, we're creative, we're able to love.
John, seeing that we are created in God's image, how should we apply that to our lives today? What's the significance of it for us?
This is very, very important, Derek. Because all human beings are made in the image of God, each of us, even the weakest and frailest and most disabled member of the human race, has dignity and value from the very beginning of life until its end, from conception to death. It's relevant today and can be applied like this. For instance, in abortion. Abortion is killing the most vulnerable and weakest members of our race. Babies are made in God's image. Or at the other end of life, euthanasia, where people are killed as their lives are seen as either too painful or useless to continue. You're killing a human being there who has value and who has been made in God's image. Or if we look back on the 20th century history of our world, evolutionary thinking swept the world. Men were considered just animals. And after all, they had no more value than a cow or a sheep, and often less. And they were often treated with less care and more brutality than you would treat an animal in places like Germany and Russia and China over the past 100 years. Vast numbers of people were liquidated to manipulate social change, because the rulers there had lost sight of the fact that they were accountable to God as God's creatures, and that the people they were killing were human beings with value and dignity because they were made in God's image. Mm. So let's look now at how the Bible applies the idea of being made in God's image. If you'd read for us, please, Derek, Genesis 9, 5 and 6.
Yes, these are God's words to Noah after the flood. "And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting for every animal, and from each man too I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made man."
If only the world rulers in the last 100 years had taken account of that. God demands an accounting for each man who is killed, because God has made man in his own image, and each one is valuable to God. Western societies in particular are likely to be called to account in the way that they have slaughtered millions of unborn babies because it's inconvenient. They see it as inconvenient for those babies to live.
Yes, I think that's very important, because not only is abortion a tragedy, but it's very solemn that those who are involved will actually answer to God for what they've done, won't they?
That's right. And yet, listener, if you're a woman who has been desperate and has had an abortion, you must continue to listen to this series of programmes, because there is hope. There is forgiveness and restoration. The Lord Jesus can deal with sin, and there can be a new life in him. So keep listening.
God is merciful, isn't he, John?
He is indeed.
John, can we then go on just a little bit further and just explore this area? When God first created man, were there things that he enjoyed that we don't enjoy today? And if so, what are they, and why has a change taken place?
Well, when God first made us, Derek, we were made to live with him forever, to be free from death, to be perfect, to be good, to be holy in our actions, to be truly free, free to obey his will and willing to do it. You remember, it says in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And Ephesians 4, it says that we're being recreated to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. They had all that when they were first created. They had fellowship with God, full and free and enjoyable. But all that changed, sadly. A terrible thing happened. Adam and Eve deliberately rebelled against God, and the human race has suffered terribly ever since.
Yes, that is a great tragedy, really, isn't it? But of course, wonderfully, these things are reinstated in the gospel, aren't they?
They are indeed. God saw our plight and has sent a saviour who will restore everything.
And that saviour, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own well-beloved Son. He has done all that is required to forgive us for not only the wrong we have done against God, but also the wrong we have done against other people. Each new believer needs to know that whatever wrong they may have done, when we bring it to the Lord in genuine repentance and in faith seek the cleansing which his blood alone can bring us, then God really does pardon everything. Often, new believers will find, after they have first trusted in Jesus, that the remembrance of past sins, particularly the way they have ill-treated others, can suddenly appear in their minds, and they can become anxious that perhaps these have not been forgiven by God. In these cases, we need to show them passages such as 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But they may also need our help to begin to treat others with the respect and dignity that being made in the image of God demands of us. They need to begin to love others and show concern for them, because we are taught by Jesus to love our neighbour as ourselves. Well, thank you for your company here on Serving Today. Until next time, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may the Lord keep you and bless you as you serve him. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm, or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.